episode of The Curious Couple for The Curious Ear with TNA. You want to say hi?
Hi.
We've got a special guest with us today. You guys have heard us talk about him in the past. We refer to him as the mayor of Swingsville. George is with us. Hello, George.
Hello.
So we're down in Dallas this weekend, and we're here for another trip to Utopia for a fun night, and we're meeting up with George, and we thought we'd talk to George about his adventures in the swinging lifestyle with being a single man, and how in the world did you end up doing that?
You know, it's funny. At first, it's kind of a neat surprise that we all could get together and do this, so thank you. It's been almost 5 years now, and it was after my divorce, not something I'd even considered in my marriage, not even anything I had even heard of other than what we all thought of as the lifestyle back in the day, which was, you know, guys with open shirts and medallions and key parties and things that we all thought was the 70s carried over to today. But it's been amazing, and it started out actually, it kind of evolved from dating online. It was kind of a natural progression. I had gone out on dates that were fairly superfluous. Well, they were things that just were for the sake of, I think, just to get back out into the world and get used to dating again and all those things. I wasn't really looking for a relationship, and I think neither were a lot of the women that were online and still are, I think, a lot that want to go out and just enjoy life and date and do things lightly and do things lightheartedly. And so I met a woman who we started to get pretty in sync sexually, but we both knew we didn't want a relationship. So in the course of all this, you start to reveal what you like, what you don't like, things like that. And she told me, she goes, "One of the things I'm into is I really like to watch porn when we have sex." And I said, well, that's not a problem. I'm a red-blooded American male. I've got some porn on my computer. And so I opened up the folder and started looking through them. She goes, "Wow, you've got a lot of group sex on here." I go, "Well, honestly, in life, I'm kind of a cornucopia buffet type guy. Like I love variety in just about anything." And she goes, "You know, I used to do something like this." "Hey, get out of here." She goes, "No, I'm serious. The only problem was that I did it with my husband, and he was such a jerk that nobody liked or invited us back to things, but I really enjoyed it, and I'd love to do it again." And so we kind of came up with the idea to explore this together and create a profile, an online profile, very much like what, you know, I had done and she had done separately in just vanilla dating. And so we created a profile. It was called Really Great Couple. And we put it on SDC as opposed to some of the others, because when we looked at all the ones that were online, we thought that there were a lot of really attractive people. It was worldwide. And not to knock any of the other organizations or websites, but that's the one we went with. And right off the bat, we had really great success. And by success, I mean we met some really great people. So we were lucky. We didn't have a string of bad experiences. We didn't have a real steep learning curve to meet really good people. And so
this was 5 years ago.
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
And the profile was as a couple.
It was.
Okay.
It was as a couple. And this went, you know, along swimmingly for probably, I'd say, 3 or 4 months, and she got a job offer up north. Now, we're in Texas, so when I say up north, I don't mean Wichita Falls. I mean literally up north, and it was somewhere in Wisconsin or something, so she moved away, and that pretty much put the kibosh on this thing for me, and I looked at that, and I thought, man, you know, I've met some great people. This is fun. Do I do the idea of trying to scramble and find someone else to do this with? Is that even appropriate? I mean, I was still new to this thing. And
so how long into it?
Oh gosh, it was probably 3 or 4 months into the whole experience, where again, right off the bat, we went to a great party hosted here in Dallas, and for people I'm still friends with today. And it built the foundation of what, if you go to my profile, which is a single profile now, and you see that friends list, there are a lot of those that are there to this day that I met at that party. And subsequent parties. So she moves up north, and I look at this idea of what do I do next? Because I kind of like this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not the 70s. It's not, you know, and one of the things about the lifestyle I find so fascinating is, and I kind of give it an analogy of the biker culture. And when people said that years ago, everyone thought, well, if you're a biker, you're either a bandito or a Hell's Angel. And now anybody on a Harley Davidson may be a doctor, a lawyer, a working mother. I mean, it runs the gamut from professional business people to blue collar workers, white collar across the board, from, you know, the wealthiest all the way to people who've just been in that culture their whole life and have rat bikes. And I think that it applies because in the lifestyle, you see the same thing. It's not an odd thing. It's
weird
a great thing.
It is.
Yeah,
you know, it's people in normal.
People that your
like
kids
us.
Go to
yeah.
school
yeah.
with.
Exactly,
their kids.
Monday through Friday, it's a Clark Kent, Lois Lane alter
totally.
Ego. It's
yeah.
truly people that you would. Now it's funny because, and you guys can. I know you can relate to this. I can spot them now.
Can you?
Yeah. And
we think we can, but we haven't
well,
tested
the theory. Enough, that can be validated easily when you take a vacation like I just
yeah.
got back from, going on the big cruise, and you spend the night before at the hotel, and there are meet and greets. Well, before the meet and greet, everyone's gathering and getting to the hotel, coming into town. People are flying into Florida, driving in, all those things, and they're checking in. And as you look across the hotel, you see families, and you see kids,
mm-hmm.
and then you see this couple, and they just have that look. Her clothes are just a little more suggestive. The way she carries herself, he's really excited,
and they look,
you know,
like they're happy.
Exactly,
yeah,
and they're
together.
Happy. They're not
they
fighting.
They love each
they're,
other.
They're, exactly,
they're not worn out.
And so I kind of have gotten an eye for that now. And what we did, it's funny. My friends and I, as we would walk down the concourse at the hotel, we'd walk past people, and I would just lean in and go, "See you on the boat." And obviously, if they said, "I'm sorry, what?" you could say, well, yeah, the Carnival cruise, the one with the Disney characters,
yeah.
you know, you can get yourself out of it if
yeah.
you need to.
Right.
But we never did. Everyone said they always had this devilish smile after I'd say that. I'd say, "I'll, you know, see you on the boat tomorrow." So
that's funny.
It's okay. I can edit out.
I got to clear it anyway because I know it's about to start. My throat's been really dry.
I kind of
digress. You were asking about how I got into this thing. So we're to the point where I decided to do a single profile, which kind of ties into what you were going to ask me. So I don't know if you want to ask that question.
Well, part of it is, you know, there are people that listen to this who have heard of you, and they're like, how the hell did you get into this? You know, like...
Right.
Well, because speaking
yeah.
from our point of view, we didn't even open emails that were from single guys.
Yeah. Understandable.
Still don't.
Surely.
Really.
Yeah. And
understandable.
It was I think you even emailed us, and you're like, I'm not a single guy in the
yeah.
profile or
yeah.
in the subject.
That's true. And I think
we avoided you.
Well, and you did. And so that you understood that, that's never dishonesty on my part. I always will say in the email, and this happens a lot. As a matter of fact, it's on my profile now where I have at the bottom, by the way, don't always assume that when you meet me out somewhere that I'm always alone. More often than not, I have a date, and often it's someone that I'm good friends with. I have some great single female friends that are amazing and just
in the lifestyle.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I say it in the profile. I go, you know, just don't misunderstand me. I'm not pimping my friends out. At the same time, I'm saying that if a single guy is something that comes with a certain connotation for you, don't always put me in that box, because I oftentimes, again, more often than not, when I go out, whether it be Utopia or Colette's here or house parties, I try to have a date. I try to be mindful of that.
So let me ask you about your dates. So do you meet them all through SDC? Do you meet them, like, so the first time you go out as a single guy, or... now you're a single guy with a single profile. Did you meet a girl on SDC, then get injected into these parties where you meet other people? How does it snowball into where you're at now from this, oh, God, I don't have a date, you know, I want to be in it, but I'm not in it?
Right. For me, I don't necessarily say it's a unique experience, but I think it may be the exception to the rule, according to everyone else, not according to me, but just what couples have told me. and shared with me over the years with their experiences and single males and the idea of the single male and the lifestyle. And there are all kinds of opinions that run the spectrum from we don't believe they should be in it to we love them and all different variations in between. But going back to talking about the single profile itself, I first looked at it and kind of saw it sort of as a challenge. I saw it as, how can I change this perception even just a little bit for me? Because I looked, when she moved away and I looked at the idea of, am I going to keep this profile? Am I going to change the name and change to a single male instead of a couple on there and create this new version? And I did, and it's really great guy. And as I was looking at other profiles to help me kind of define what people not necessarily were looking for, but what people thought. And I started to see so much negativity, but I didn't understand why. Keep in mind, I'm still new. Now I understand why. I've been in this long enough now to have heard and or seen with my own eyes some really, really not good behavior from these guys. And it's a generalization. There are some good guys out there. I have some great single guy friends that I can certainly refer when couples ask me or want single males at their house party or to go out with, or just to add to their experience to be friends with. And so to answer the question, how it's evolved was kind of interesting. And again, I can only go on what other people give me feedback and validation. I feel like I have a strong sense of myself and self-awareness enough to where I try not to step on my own, you know, and not shoot myself in the foot.
Let me interject here for those listening and for your feedback. One of those things that A and I talked about was that about you was the moment we met you, there wasn't this over-the-top, I'm trying to have sex with the girl you came with. Yeah. It was, hey, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to get to know you guys. There wasn't this, like, you give off the impression, I'd be fine if I didn't have sex with you guys, but yeah, I would just want to get to know you. And that, we appreciate it. Because one, we kind of had that standoffish, here's a single dude, who is this guy? And you didn't, you know, you kind of portrayed yourself as someone who, you didn't need to have sex with her to, you know, enjoy our conversation and our company. Which, kudos to you for doing that. That's probably why people enjoy your company and you meet a lot of people this way.
Well, and first, thank you for that. And second, just to tell you, I absolutely wanted to.
I wasn't convinced of the fact that you did. I was saying you were portraying yourself, which kudos to you for that.
Well, and thank you for that. I think a lot of that comes from nurture. Some of it comes from nature. I think I had a great upbringing with parents that taught me to respect people. And I'm an empathic person. I love people. I love the energy of people. I have to like the guy as part of the equation, because, and some other guys, you know, people out there listen and go, well, of course he does. I mean, whatever. But no, what I mean by that is I truly want these connections to last. I want there to be friendships involved. Are there one-offs? Are there times where you meet couples and it's all sex and that's what they want? And here's the thing. Being empathic, meaning that I tend to lead, let me say it differently. I tend to follow other people's lead when it comes to, because I'm a guest almost always. And so I look at it like this is for them far more than it is for me. I have no problem with people. We laugh about this sometimes, that I'm an object. I'm a toy. I'm there for their pleasure, whatever, and let's move along. If that's what they want, as long as they're respectful, I'm fine with that. But for the most part, I want to create lasting friendships. And exactly. And the sex is just an amazing side effect. And being able to do this that way, and I've had single guys ask me, they go, how do you make this work? And my answer to that is, it's not so much making it work as just being the best me that I can be. And that means a lot of different things. One of the things it means is that when I meet you, I'm not trying to just get through you to her. Because I know that being a guy who feeds off of that energy, if something's wrong between you and I, and I'm talking about T for those listening, I'm talking about for the two of us, two men, if there's something wrong there, and we're not, I want that right before we even consider the idea of this going somewhere sexually, because I couldn't enjoy it anyway. Because I know at the corner of my eye, or you're right here with me, or whatever's going on, this guy may not necessarily be as extreme as doesn't like me, but something's not working. And that applies to all kinds of things with couples. And what I've learned over the years is that I now try to identify very quickly a couple that might be out of sync with each other. I don't want to create any dramatic problems, conflicts, or be the catalyst for something that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I watch for couples where she's doing it for him, he's doing it for her, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They don't know if this is what they want to do. The thing I love are couples who you just can genuinely tell, and I think I see this with you guys, you both really love seeing the other one happy. And that's what I've learned to almost exclusively want to be a part of. So when I meet couples, there are times that it's not a match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to what you said, and I appreciate that feedback and hearing that from you, is that it's the respect that I give because that's the respect that I would like to get in return. I think, you know.
Well, as a transition there, I know part of what you were wanting to talk about when you came and was and are part of this podcast were some of your stories, which I'm sure range from great, exciting, over the top, pleasurable to, oh my God, listen to this fucking story I have to tell you. So anything that stands out in your mind where you're like, funny, exciting, entertaining.
We don't have time. Yeah, absolutely. There's some great ones. There's some recent ones. You know, I recently arrived back home from an amazing 7-day cruise. It's the big swinger cruise that's hosted by a ton of agencies, and STC is a part of it, and SLS and Lifestyle Lounge, all the big names. And swinger cruise, I don't know what we plug and can't plug, don't know what you put on your
it
podcast,
really,
but
matter at this point. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody
cares. So there's just,
although if you do care, email us and we'll get you on there.
Absolutely. And if it's something you've never done, just let me tell you, we all say almost unequivocally that, it's one of the most amazing experiences in the lifestyle, unless you have motion sickness. If you get seasick, it's not.
A cruise specifically or just a vacation?
Oh, no. Let me just say clearly, a swinger cruise has ruined me for all cruises. Now, for vacation, I still love Hedo. I love Desire. I love to go on vacations that are landlocked because those things are also amazing because everyone's on vacation and it's an amazing time. But something about the cruise, I don't know if it's that we're all such close quarters or if they have it so well designed for things going on, but I'm digressing. My point to that is that it was an amazing time and I got to be a part of some really, really cool things. And one thing I learned, the first one that I went on several years ago was the November cruise, and it's kind of become an annual thing with me. And it's something that I had the experience in the lifestyle of, I'm going to have to win people over as a single male. I've got to build trust. However, on the cruise, for some reason, as soon as, and I don't know if it's because couples come from all over the world and there's more of a broad range of preference, but as soon as it was found out, as soon as I told anyone that I'm actually a single male and I have a couple here that sponsored me, you could just see the look and they'd light up. And so I don't know if vacation allows them a freedom to pursue something that maybe they don't normally do, mm-hmm. because they don't want to give them, like, for example, a lot of couples don't want a single guy profile in a validation or a friends list because it gives people the impression who look at the profile, other single guys, oh, they're single guy friendly. Then they get mobbed with emails.
Right.
In this case, on the swinger cruise, necessarily does that happen. So you get to see a lot of couples. And the thing I always say, just kind of jokingly, but not really, is I'm always up for adoption. And and a lot of people took me up on that. And as a matter of fact, this year, I actually would get phone calls to make appointments. And I know that sounds so...
While on the trip?
Yes.
Secretary.
Yes, absolutely. I would actually, they'd start in the morning. I would get phone calls from couples who would ask, you know, what are you doing for dinner? Or we'd love for you to come by the room at 11 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
And that started happening on day two this year, which is this is the first year that's ever happened. It's always kind of been couples. I think they meet me, and I'm always very forthright and honest up front right at the beginning. I go, I'm here single. If that's something you're not interested in, please let me know. I'd love to be friends with you. I'm not trying to just get to her. And I'm with a couple. Here they are. You meet them. If they're not standing there, I make sure they meet them later. And what happens usually is the couples will come back around to me maybe that night or the next day. And most people have business cards printed up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, exactly. That say their room number on the ship.
And here's what they write in the room number on their cards, right?
Exactly. Or they have it printed up so they already know before they get on what that assignment is.
Oh, my God.
And so
that's awesome.
That room number and that card itself, when given to you, is a signal that they're interested. Most people actually say it's not a signal that they're interested. It's a signal that they're very interested, meaning that we just don't give our card to anyone. So that's how it usually happens. But funny enough, people would ask me what my room number was. And this year, I actually had a suite to myself. Even though I'm there with a couple, we had an issue with how the rooms worked out. And it was a very tiny room, and it was not the one we were promised. And they said, listen, we've got one open. They'll be the same size as the one you're in, but at least you'll have all the room to yourself, and your couple can kind of spread out too, because we had more luggage than we. Because everybody shows up on the cruise to do costumes, so they're.
Well, why don't you explain that? So every day on this cruise is a theme, correct?
Yes, every day on the cruise is a theme, and what that causes is people to bring what looks like steamer trunks of costumery, because the fun thing about that is everyone takes it deadly serious.
Yeah.
They costume like you would not believe. It's almost, I'm surprised they don't do contests and give prizes, because they'll do a superhero night and it looks like Hollywood makeup artists did the work. I mean, these people are serious about it. And so, so this year, I did the same, and I had a suitcase big enough to, you know, fit a small family in it.
Awesome.
And that case was full of nothing, but I had a duffel bag of my clothes, and I had a massive steamer trunk suitcase on wheels with pull ropes to carry the costumes. But
just a duffel bag. For the
so what exactly? So what happens on the cruise is, people.
I was trying to get your attention. You need to project because you're further away. So when you talk, make sure you project.
So on the cruise, how the communication works is typically the cards are how people, and some people just come out and tell you, hey, we'd love to meet you. Well, for me, I ended up, and this was this long story to tell you, my room number was 9229. It's not that hard to remember. The only thing that'd been better if it had been 9999 or something like that. But 9229 was pretty easy. So people would call, and you just dial that in. And I'd have couples call me from their room, and it would show their number. Or they might call me from their phones housed at all the elevator banks all up and down the cruise ship. And so during the day, I might be in the room or have a message that says, hey, what are you doing at 3 o'clock? We organized an orgy, and we'd love for you to come be a part of it. And that happened twice.
So, orgy, how many are we talking?
8. I would be 9. I'm always obviously the odd number. unless, again, I've met someone. And on this cruise, I did.
Are there unicorns on the cruise?
Absolutely. A lot of times they work with the agencies, and they're called host couples or host singles, and they're there on the ship to really make everybody feel comfortable and have a good time and facilitate things like you're lost, this is how you get to this. That's not a Royal Caribbean answer. If you ask where's the restaurant, but if you ask where's the dungeon, Royal Caribbean staff's not really paid to know where the orgy rooms and the dungeons and all those things are. So you find the host couples in the yellow shirts, and they do that. Well, there are host singles too, and I met one at the hotel the night before, and we hit it off, and we spent a lot of time on the cruise coupled up. And again, not an official couple, but there were times where we played with other couples together or we did our thing and things like that. So sometimes it was an even number, but often it was an odd number. And it was, again, an amazing trip. So one of the highlights that was really cool is I got to be the hero. I met a couple and we played. And at the end of it,
Let me stop you there. When you say we played, is it you just interacted with the wife or both the husband and the wife play, or?
You know, and that's something to talk about too, because I think we've kind of, we jumped ahead to talk about some of my interesting stories, and I've still digressed to the point of not telling anyone yet. So I apologize, but it just seems like there's so much to tell in one, and we have to do this again. I hope you'll invite me back, because there's so much to tell. But to talk about that, I sort of, again, being my personality, was to let couples lead. And I learned over the years how to listen for and communicate and to draw out of couples in
what they want,
what they expect, what they like, what they don't, or what are they into. And again, you have to be careful, I think, as a single male, to be very aware as you go through the whole play scenario, the whole experience. You have to always know if you can, again, how not to make a misstep. You don't want it to be something that's scientific or take the fun out of it to where you're hesitant and you don't want to be on pins and needles, but you need to be aware.
You sound like you're talking around something. Be more direct.
Some couples don't like you to be too good.
Okay.
I've had experiences where she liked it and he didn't like that she liked it.
Mm.
And so I will...
See, those are the stories I want to hear.
I will back off. And I'm not... This is a fine line because I don't want them to come away from it and go, God, he was terrible. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that was on purpose because he,
yeah.
He doesn't like you having orgasms with anybody but him to the degree that we did. So you can't get that excited about your toy, your new toy. I try to be mindful, and now it's almost become automatic where I really, again, I've tried to learn couples where I don't get into situations where I find out halfway through it while we're deep, passionate kisses, and he taps me on the shoulder and goes, we don't kiss.
You know,
I should try to find that out at the beginning. And there are couples that misstep, and they do it not knowing they've... I think they unlock things sometimes. All I can ever say about me is I try to do the very best I can. I try to always be open to learn, to be better. I'm going to want to do things that a woman's going to really respond to, but you have to be careful because they are a couple. And yeah.
So what's more common, is that both you and the husband are taking care of the wife, or the husband sits back and you take care of the wife, you're tag teaming her, like, all right, I'm out.
Probably a little of everything.
I'd say so. Percentage-wise, I wouldn't say it's a head-to-head 50-50, but a lot of times, let me say this. It's more often that there are husbands who watch and then join in.
Mm-hmm.
Less often, husbands watch... I can't really think of the last time it was a husband who watched in a cuckold situation, which is, again, there are varying degrees of that. I don't like extreme cuckold. For those who don't know what that is or who know a part of that, that's where a husband actually gets off on his wife getting pleasured by another man, not him. And that gets carried a step further if you're extreme, where she may even turn to him and go, you never fuck me like this.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. That's further than I want to ever go. But there are husbands who really enjoy watching their wives and not participating. That's not as common in my experiences, where they sit back for the entire scenario or the experience. What usually happens is they get so worked up that they almost can't help but get involved. And I want that. I mean, I want those guys involved, and I'm not homophobic. I have no problem with, you know, having those guys right alongside me. I'm all about positive energy, and I try to lift those guys up, because sometimes they're guys who aren't as well hung, don't have enough stamina in their own minds. Their wives love them dearly and they're fine with it. But I'm kind of there to, in my mind, be a fantasy thing. Like,
yeah. Add to that.
Yeah. But I have to, again, be aware. It's not my show. I'm not trying to, I don't want it to ever be at his expense.
Right.
So if these guys, and I told someone the other day, I go, look, I try to be aware of things. Like, if I see a guy start to lose his heart on, I'm not going to turn her ass to him in a way that puts him on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep her sort of the idea of him not being aware. I don't want anybody to pick up on that, because he's already down 1,000 deaths and he's over there batting this.
Yeah.
You know, he's batting it around. And all right, so it's, and in a man's mind, that becomes a huge thing, as if a spotlight just
yeah.
shone
right.
directly on him. And it's not,
makes it worse.
And it's not that way. And I think you can, you know, attest to the idea that women are more forgiving of that than men would like to think, or not would like to think, but do think. I think a lot of men have this performance thing that, and more so in group scenarios and sex that's more public and in group sex and swapping and things where everybody's in the same room.
Well, and there's a whole nother element when you do that.
Yeah.
You know, your mind can play tricks on you.
Sure.
You're watching other things. You've got other thoughts.
Yeah.
You've got other focuses.
Here's a good story. On the cruise last year, some really good friends of mine that I made friends with a few years back, they live in Chicago. He is one of the premier MMA fighters in the world. And he is now, this year, actually, the world jiu-jitsu champion. He just beat the Brazilian champion. We're in a group setting in the big playroom, the big public playroom in the front of the boat. And this goofball, this European husband without a wife, and I'm doing this, you can't see me, but I'm doing quotations, stumbles into our orgy with the excuse that his wife will be along any moment now. I see Ryan turn, and Ryan's well endowed, and Ryan
this
can,
is the fighter.
This Ryan? Is the fighter, Ryan, and he can go, and he loses his heart on. And my first thought was, this guy's dead.
Oh,
because what happened was Ryan's brain, and a lot of men do this. Ryan's brain. Let me try that again. Ryan's brain switched gears. Mm-hmm. It went from, you know, there's fight or flight. I think there's fight or fuck. And he went from fuck to fight. And Ryan, again, at the level that he competes, is a very wise man. He's not one to fly off the handle, but I saw the look in his eye, and he got embarrassed by it. He couldn't perform. He was with someone he'd wanted to be with all week. It wasn't his wife. All this went on, and I looked at him. I go, "I'll take care of it, Ryan. Everything's good." He goes, "You better." and we managed to get the guy out of the. We kind of ushered him out, and he kind of stumbled away. But I saw that look in Ryan's eyes, and so yeah, I think that's a thing that a lot of men battle that don't necessarily have to. I think that if a lot of men knew that, because half of it, if not more so, is mental, not biological. Yeah. I think when that happens, you start talking to yourself, and it makes it worse.
Oh yeah.
And it's hard to come back to where you're thinking. And this always fascinates me. We do things in this lifestyle that's sexually exaggerated. There are three women blowing me.
Yeah.
I'm looking across the room and there are 10 people fucking. And you go, this is porn. This is crazy. This is nuts.
Men dream about this.
How in the hell could I lose my heart on
it? Right.
And you're sitting
this
there,
is a porno.
And you're talking to your cock and you're going, dude, are you aware of what we're doing? Help me out, man. Come on. What could possibly have gone wrong that you can't, you know? So anyway, that's interesting. But to the back to the original question, most couples are pretty good about letting you know and what they're into and what they're not. But I try to pull that out of them.
Let me ask you, have you ever I guess not communicated things, and the guy is a little bit more enthusiastic with you than you were looking for him to be.
If you're going down the bisexual road with that question, that's happened. Well, honestly, it's never happened overtly where anyone's made a move on me. Again, I try to really vet and interview is the wrong word, but get to know couples through text and talk and meet at a meet and greet or get to know them well or spend an evening with them before just jumping in the sack. But interestingly enough, there's a story that, and this was, to me, it was just insane. And it may be normal to some people, and I don't judge. I couldn't, not doing what we all do. And so we got to the end of an amazing playtime with I got to the end of an amazing playtime with a couple, and I was rather quite proud of how much I came. And so,
was it on display?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so here's let me no pun intended, paint the picture. She goes, and we're fucking, and it's good, and he's involved, and she's blowing him, and she looks at me and goes, "Oh my God, I can tell you're about to come," and I go, you know. Again, communication. They're like, "Where do you want it?" And she's like, "Oh my God, I want it everywhere." She goes, "Do you think you could actually start, like, coming in me and then on me and then in my mouth?" I'm like, I can tell you that, you know, there have been times where I felt like Peter North, and there's other times when I felt like I was blowing just dust. This depends on, you know, the night and whatever's going on in life. I cannot guarantee you what this is going to be.
Right.
It might be a teaspoon, it might be a gallon. I'm sorry, I don't know, but I'm going to do my best. And what was really cool, it was a good one. So I pull this off. And so I start with, And for all of you listening again, safe sex first, always. So I've got a condom on. So I could have faked the first part, but I didn't. I actually was like, oh my God, I'm coming. And I did. And so I start and I'm just pumping. And then I pull out, whip the condom off, and just, I stood up. And I'm like, just, it's just making it rain. I think it's just all over, right? And then I drop down, I'm kind of over, and I drop down on my knees, right to the side of her head, and she takes it, and it's just super hot, and it's pouring. While I'm up there watching this amazing porn-style money shot finish in her mouth on her face, I can't help but notice out of the corner of my eye,
oh, no.
He's doing his best impression of a Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no.
She was spotless by the time he got up to her shoulder blades.
Oh,
I was almost to the other side of the room.
But
I did it, I would like to think, subtly enough, where if they hear this, by the way, they will know. And hey, man, I just want to tell you, if you are listening, I'm fine with it. I would have liked some...
some warning.
Yeah, and by fine with it, I'm okay with it. It's not my thing, it's yours. Wow. That really surprised me. And I had this really odd moment of just kind of, that just... yeah, that just happened. That did just happen.
Wow.
So, interestingly enough, and great couple. I don't know if I check my friends list tomorrow and they're gone, but I hope not. I like
them. Get off that quick.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. That's there's a story for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more time we have, but I'll tell you a good one and a bad one if we have time.
Yeah, we can. We probably have another 5 minutes or something.
Okay. I'll shorten these a little bit. I'll try to.
Or we can. You know what? We can stop now and do another one.
If you want, yeah, let's do it. That's fine. Or I can tell you my one of my very worst.
Let's end on the worst one.
And by worst, for me, worst is always still tongue in cheek, and I get a laugh out of it. And I always do this with irony, knowing that this is crazy anyway. Just this whole lifestyle in general to me is something that's fantastic, fun, and fantasy come true. And I still giggle at it in the middle of everything, no matter what I'm doing. And I was leaving Dallas on my way home, and I was checking my profile, and a couple had chimed in and had written to me and said, "Hey, we love your profile." Now this was early on. I didn't know better yet. And so they said, "Are you still in Dallas?" I said, "Funny enough, I'm actually leaving town." They go, "Well, I'm flying in. She's meeting me at the hotel next to the airport, and we'd love to meet you." And the pictures, again, I'm still fairly new at this, and I hadn't learned how clever people can be with photographs. And I would say she looked kind of like a 40-something-year-old hot teacher. Pencil skirt, great legs, nice ass, the whole thing, body, everything looked great. Didn't see her face. But you could see up to the chin, so you could tell this is pretty good. So I'm thinking, hey, you know what? I'm still fairly new at this. This could be fun. Let's give it a try. Why not? Never met these people. I show up at this hotel room. I walk in the door, and it's not what I expected. Let me elaborate. Most of you are thinking, oh, 300 pounds. No. Oh, 60 years old, said she was 40. No. How would I say this? Probably hadn't found her way to a Brazilian in many, many years. Would be one way we'd go with that. He looked like, you know what? I'm not going to be despairing. I'm just going to tell you, because here's what ends up happening. They were so genuinely, earnestly sweet, they had no idea how wrong they were for the lifestyle. The only thing they were missing were lab coats. They were perfect little... oh, it's hard to explain. I'll just tell you what happened. So I walk in. She says, as deadpan as possible, "Honey, is this what you want?" She's talking to him, not me. He goes, "Yes, honey." And I'm thinking, I have just walked into the Bates fucking motel. But at this point, I've learned they're pretty harmless. I don't see any hatchets or you know, I don't think they're going to kill me. and so keep in mind the lab coat thing. He's balding, not in good shape, slight build, short man. She looks like a teacher, but not hot for teacher. Your teacher you don't really want to have sex with. So at this point, I'm like, I can't break these people's hearts. I'm here. Fuck it. It can't be that bad, right? She gets naked and this thing poofs out like it. I thought it was candy. I think I'm getting punked. This is not real. That's got to be like not her real bush. That can't be right. Oh. That cannot be right. It was right. So at this point, I'm thinking, man, I can't. But how do you? I can't get out of this room. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. And they start moving right along with their checklist. She says to him, I'm not kidding. Would this be the time that you would prefer fellatio?
Oh my gosh.
And he goes, I would like that.
Weird.
He sits on the bed, crosses his legs, glasses down on his nose, and here she goes. And, you know, bless her heart, she tried. And all I could think at this point was, be a professional. Don't. If you ever needed to be hard, just be hard now. Just because I felt like it's hard to explain without being there. If you could see a snapshot of these people, you would go, I get it. I felt sorry for them at the same time that I was just, I don't have the right words for it. I don't know what I felt, but I went through this. I actually did this. I went as far as I could go. I did. And so this goes on, and it's just so half-hearted. And it's hard to watch. It's hard to be a part of. And he's sitting on the bed. I'm looking at him, and I'm just envisioning these people in lab coats with clipboards. And he's like, okay, we've checked that off. And so she then goes, would you like him to? I can't do it. I can't. That's unreal. This is what she says. Would you like him to enter me now?
Oh, my God.
I'm not making this up. And so he says,
to me.
Oh, yeah, well, it ain't. So
T's getting hard.
She turns around, bends over, and I'm at this point, I'm like, short of scrotum, I'm fucking a man.
Oh, no.
It is so hairy. It's as hairy in the back as it was in the front.
Oh, no.
And again, here's the thing. They just didn't know.
Is she heavy?
No. Nice. She's skinny. She's skinny, and she's as pale can be.
No.
And here's the thing. I'm fine with that.
It's contrasting, really.
It's very contrasting. That's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I think pale, you know, the skin tone's fine. I'm fine with that. I've met some really, really hot, really, really pale-skinned women, and not this case. So anyway, speed this along. We finally got to the point where I just finally threw in the towel. I said, oh, guys, you just wore me out. You've just worn me out so good. It's amazing. It's great meeting you. And, you know, I got to get back. And, you know, I don't know what I came up with as excuse. But when I got out of that hotel room, it was just surreal. It felt like how it must have felt for the kid coming out of that frozen hedgerow in The Shining when he got away from his dad. And I was just like, I've survived it. I escaped this. I really said this. At the moment, I said, I will never tell anyone that this just happened. And here I am.
Thousands.
Yeah. Okay. So that's probably, in my mind, that was the worst one-off experience I've ever had.
One-off.
That was still in my mind. Now I look back and go, that's just funny. Right. I'm just funny.
Well, we'll have to end there. Maybe we'll start up next time with a better, more feel-good story than that one. So, once again, this is TNA, and we're signing off with The Curious Couple for The Curious Ear. And email us at thecuriouscpl@gmail.com if you want to chime in or have any questions about maybe our next episode. So, we'll see you then. Thanks.